Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Gyms in Boston have to close for a minimum of 3 weeks starting today. Personal training is still allowed. Outdoor gym activities can operate with fewer than 25 people. This is part of a rollback to fight coronavirus spread that Boston Mayor Marty Walsh announced earlier in the week, and in coordination with several other greater Boston communities, such as Somerville, Brockton, Newton, and rollbacks for varying communities start on different dates. Some gym owners are firing back about this, saying that gyms, fitness facilities offer people physical and mental health benefits that we hardly can afford to lose right now. How about you? Do you agree? Is, you know, loss of your community's local gym a loss for community well-being? Or do you think the temporary closures are necessary given the current level of virus spread? Have you been using a gym? If not, why? And if you have been, what are you going to do instead? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Mark Rowe joins us now. He's general manager and a partner with Beacon Hill Athletics Club. Five of the gym's seven locations, yep, are closed today to comply with the new mandate from Boston. Mark, welcome.
Hi, how you doing? Nice to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you, Mark. I get the sense that today is probably a tough day for you. How big of a blow to your business is this three-week closure?
It's a huge blow. It's very frustrating. Obviously, this has been a challenging time for us as well as everybody and all small business owners. We're doing the best we can to, you know, try to reinvigorate our business and get back to some sort of normalcy, steady our finances, and to be shut down again is devastating, to be honest with you, to our business.
What does it mean for you who have put your life and your work into this to have this situation out of your control this way?
It's infuriating. I mean, this company started in the late 1980s. We're the longest privately owned health club company in the city of Boston. We've been fortunate to be able to serve, the Boston area for well over 30 years now. And, we've built this from the ground up. We thought that, in the beginning when we shut down, we understood that. There wasn't the data out there. People didn't know where it was coming from, and we need to figure that out. We now have 8 months of data be able to support where the concerns are and what needs to be shut down and what doesn't. And, the data doesn't support shutting us down. I mean, if you read the Mass State, health report on page 35 even shows that health clubs attribute infection to 0.048%, which is nothing. So we were shocked to see that we were going to be one of the businesses that was shut down.
So the data that we've had, and it's not as granular, I think, as anyone would like, but the state data that we had that's been made public has gyms under the category of recreation and cultural. That also includes movie theaters, casinos, golf, and boating. The state knows of six
Correct.
Clusters leading to 17 confirmed cases total from that group. What do you think communities lose from a fitness and health standpoint during this heavy winter time, this kind of dark time, and a time when our bodies are potentially under assault from a pandemic virus?
Absolutely. I mean, we look at ourselves as a necessary business. I mean, we're dealing with health and wellness. That is what we deal with, and that's proven to combat that. It's proven that individuals that are exercising regularly are less likely to contract the virus, and if they do, have a much better chance of combating the virus. In addition, it's proven that, exercise and human interaction and getting out of your house is a huge to combat, stress, anxiety, depression, especially during the holidays. I mean, it's a large concern normally around the holidays. And now, in the middle of a global pandemic, it's even more important. I think that, we serve a very necessary need to the communities that we're in. We have a lot of concern for our members. We have a very strong relationship with our members. We've had a lot of members over the course of our original closure that, took on bad habits, whether it was drinking, drugs, overeating. They didn't have a release. They didn't have anything to do. And I think we provide something, a healthy way to combat that, a healthy way to deal with that. So, you know, I just am flabbergasted by it.
So we've got a lot of callers, Mark, and we'll go to those in a second. But before we do, you know, I taught group fitness for a really long time, really enjoy the gym. When people are exhaling heavily, when they are fatigued, they are asked, you know, they are putting out a lot of aerosolization of their saliva, et cetera. It is hard to keep people safe under those circumstances. What is the biggest safety measure you have taken to avoid spread in the gym?
So what we've done is, so we have, it's a mask mandate. Under no circumstances can masks be removed. Masks are worn from the time you walk through the door until the time you leave. When any type of cardiovascular exercise is done, all of our equipment is spaced 6 to 9 feet apart, and they also have plastic partitions separating them, so they're in pods. Those partitions are 9 feet tall, and they're 8 feet wide. So they're really, you know, we've taken extreme measures. You know, we've gone further than even what, you know, the city of Boston's asked us to do in order to ensure, you know, that that doesn't happen. You know, we clean the facilities on an hourly basis. We have hydrostatic sprayers that we use. When someone walks through the door, everyone's temperature is taken before they can enter. They are required to sanitize their hands before they use anything and walk in the door. And then we have sanitizing stations throughout that are required to wipe everything down once you do it. Since we opened in July, we've had over 50,000 check-ins in all 7 of our locations, and we haven't had 1 confirmed case of COVID.
Well, I am pleased to hear that for you. We've got lots of callers here, Mark, and you said you were game for us talking to a few. So 800-423-8255. We've got Rich on the line from Belmont. Rich, go ahead.
Hi, I'm a avid CrossFitter. I go to the gym 5 days a week when I can, and really support it for mental and physical health. I have 2 points on that. One is, I think it's a little bit more nuanced than saying all gyms. I think that the smaller boutique gyms like CrossFit and those type of gyms are better situated to handle smaller classes and smaller numbers of clientele versus the larger gyms. And I also think that they have less of a fail-safe mechanism, financial mechanism behind them than a corporate chain like a Lifetime or a Planet Fitness. So, you know, admittedly,
yep.
This has taken a toll on everyone.
I'm going to take it back from you there, Rich. Thanks so much. And I'm going to add Tanya in as well. Tanya's calling from Brockton. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say thank you so much for putting on the show every day. You really have helped to keep my sanity. But as for
thanks,
gyms,
Tanya.
And Mayor Marty Walsh's decision on closing them down, I 100% see where he's coming from. I also try to stand not biased. I love the gym. I actually don't call it working out. I call it self-love. I think everybody should give back to themselves when they can. That being said, I think this is putting a Band-Aid on a large problem. I think the shutdown should not be for gyms. I think it should be complete and total shutdown. And I think it should go beyond the state itself. And I think, you know, as a country, we should be working together at this point.
Thanks for that, Tanya. And Mark, I'm going to turn back to you here. This shutdown, we just heard a couple of opinions on whether or not it's a good idea and what else we need to do. It is temporary. There are 3 weeks to start, but that puts you through the first week of January. And gyms make a good chunk of their money as people are trying to act on those New Year's resolutions. That first week of January, how important is it to your overall revenues of the year?
It's huge. So, you know, we operate on much smaller margins than we did many years ago. In, you know, January, you know, attributes to probably about 25% of our annual business. So to start the year off like this is it's going to be a huge challenge. You know, there's so many unknowns. We're not sure what kind of impact that will have moving forward. We also don't know if it's only going to be 3 weeks. You know, we're not really getting
the
information we need. There's a lot of unknowns, so we really can't forecast the impact. I can tell you that it's a very negative impact to our industry during a very trying time, you know. So it's going to be very tough.
Let's go back to the phones, 800-423-8255. We've got Marilyn on the line from West Roxbury. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thanks.
awesome. So I'm a CrossFitter as well as your first caller, and I really think that a lot of these smaller gyms are really struggling. And to Mark's point, like, gyms are part of the health and wellness department, not the recreation department. So I really think it's a failure grouping them together with things like movie theaters and different things like that, because they're not the same kind of facility.
Thanks for that call. And I'm going to add one other caller here. We've got Chris on the line from Somerville. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly take a different point of view. I'm not an avid CrossFitter or gym goer, but you know, the pandemic has made me want to get back to it. And I have a Planet Fitness membership where I can go to any of them, but they all have a patchwork system of guidelines. So I have to drive 25 minutes to one that makes everybody wear a mask, where all the ones closer to me, you don't have to wear a mask. And it's just kind of frustrating to have to sort of self-police like that. I think it might give comfort if there was more of a uniform set of approaches.
Thanks for that, Chris. And I will say that last week, Governor Baker did actually mandate you now cannot take a mask off in the gym. Mark, comments or thoughts on what you just heard?
No, I think they're all valid points. I think that what we have to do is I think that there needs to be more guidance, okay? I think that through this whole process, it's kind of been a lot of knee-jerk reactions and you know, guesswork. I think that they need to look at the science. I think they have to put, you know, stringent guidelines in that people need to abide by to ensure that people are safe and move forward. I think that, once again, you know, what's been done so far, it's proven that it's been working, you know, and we're more than willing to, you know, have more guidelines or whatever it is in order to continue operating. I mean, the safety of our staff and members is the most important thing to us. It truly is. And we feel that we've done that. Now, if there is more science that can show us there's other things we can do to continue to do that, we would love to have that. We would love to have these guidelines. We're looking for more, you know. I mean, Mayor Walsh was on WEI this morning, and when he was asked what the statistics were for the infection rate in gyms, he said he doesn't have that information. He doesn't know. That's scary. You know, he's shutting down an entire industry and he doesn't even have the data.
I want to pick that up with you, Mark, because I just did the same thing you did. Mayor Walsh said, you know, when he was rolling out or announcing this new rollback, he addressed this issue of what we know about what how spread is not happening in gyms, but he said we have community spread. So if you are in these enclosed spaces, essentially his argument was you just have a higher risk of contracting, period. And there is something to that, right? When you have more people and a higher rate of infection, it is simply riskier to be indoors with other people, including in places where they're breathing out heavily and maybe projecting saliva particles, et cetera, further. Do you see that argument?
Oh, 100%. But what I also see is that the science shows that we're not the problem. I also understand that, you know, if that's his real concern, then why did he all of a sudden take indoor dining out of that, which was all part of, they were part of, you know, not
meaning that
open
you can still do indoor dining.
Correct. I mean, that now you have people in an enclosed space, not wearing masks, and they're in a much closer proximity, you know? So I'm a little, and I am not saying there shouldn't be indoor dining. Don't get me wrong. I am happy for the restaurants and I'm happy that they're able to function. I'm not saying that. I just think it's interesting that all of a sudden he decided he was going to omit that where that was originally supposed to be part of the whole deal. And I'd like to
Mark,
know why he
back.
Made that decision.
Let's go back to the phones, Mark. 800-423-8255 to join this conversation. Lots of callers. David in Lexington, go ahead.
Hi, Tiziana. I used to go to the gym in the colder months of the year and exercise outside in the warmer months. Then I got a dog. And now the dog and I go running when it's cold, frigid, when it's snowing, even when it's raining lightly. And we'll be doing that, and I'll also be shoveling a lot of snow. And
well, that you will.
And I'm in my upper 60s. So there are things that individuals can do. I can't really comment on the science of whether the gyms can keep people safe or not.
But thanks for that encouragement, David, and enjoy your dog. I have two, and walking them is a joy. I want to add one other voice here, Alex from Alston. Alex, go ahead.
Hi there, Tatiana. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, so I'm a person in recovery. I haven't used drugs or alcohol since March. And when the gyms were able to reopen, going to the gym and being able to do something since I'm unemployed has really helped with my mental health and for me not picking up a drug or a drink. So I just wanted, and I know that during the pandemic, you know, a lot of mental health stuff has been going up. And I just, you know, the gym has been one of those places where I can go and, you know, spend my time doing something productive for my recovery. And it's a little, you know, hearing that the bars are still open or some, with the special, some, I don't know what it is I read. It's a little like, I'm like, really? So, I mean, it's getting cold and I did have my bike during the better weather, but now, you know, it's going to be a little harder with the snow coming and stuff like that. But I wanted to chime in about working out, mental health and recovery.
Well, Alex, thank you for your call. We support you in your recovery, and congratulations, sending you strength as you continue on your journey. That's fantastic. And just to clarify what Alex said, bars, you cannot now, restaurants will not be able to seat customers at bars except under a handful of special circumstances. So, Mark, we just heard two callers, one saying, we can adapt, and if you have to adapt, there are other ways to get that exercise. And then Alex echoing something you said earlier in our conversation, which is for those in recovery or who are really using exercise as a part of our mental health and well-being strategy, this can be challenging. So let me just give you a chance to react to those.
Well, I mean, yes, there's alternatives, right, to be able to figure that out. I think people got very creative in the original shutdown. And also you look at things like Peloton and stuff like that that took off, which also shows the need that people really, they need this. They'll do whatever they have to do to get this. It really emphasizes, you know, the service that we provide. You know, and let's be honest, you know, what's the forecast tomorrow? I mean, people, you know, some people maybe yes, but the weather is changing. I mean, people need some place to go and work out. You know, and a lot of people, you know, they can't afford the equipment or whatever else they need to do to get their workouts.
So,
you know, so Mark, I think that.
So given that your five of your seven gyms will be closed and people will not be able to go to the gym for the next 3 weeks, as a fitness professional, just briefly, what is something that people can do snowed in and at home, even if they're in a small space, that might help their overall physical well-being over these next couple of weeks?
Well, one thing that we did to provide for our membership base is we put workouts out, you know, throughout this entire process, at-home workouts that people could do. And you know, that is, you know, the best thing I guess they can do during that. We're encouraging all our membership base to do that. We don't want them to stop doing that. And we hope that they continue to do that. But like I said, I think that another thing, too, that, you know, the gym provides a sense of accountability, you know, when it's open. Mm-hmm. It's part of their routine. You're going to go, you know, you get your workout and you do it. Let's be honest. I mean, I have a lot of people, myself included, that have an exercise bike at home. And you know what? It turned into a clothes hanger. You know, it's a lot more difficult to do when you're at home, when you have a destination you can go to. Provide you the equipment that you can work out in a safe manner, in a controlled manner. It makes a huge difference.
So, Mark, in our last little bit of time, and I've asked some restaurant and other small business owners this in the past over this pandemic, how long can you hold out? How long can you keep it together, both given temporary shutdowns and the reductions in capacity that you've been trying to function through?
We're day to day. That's the reality of what we are. We've, you know, taken out a tremendous amount of debt in order to, you know, keep this going. We're committed to our staff. We're committed to our membership base, and we're doing whatever we can. But it's really scary. There's a lot of unknowns. I feel like there really truly isn't a plan to, you know, help us succeed. And another thing that just to touch upon is, you know, if you're going to shut down businesses in the city, and you're not going to provide them with any help. I mean, you know, Mayor Walsh keeps saying, well, the federal government won't do this. The federal government won't do that. Okay. But you know what? He's running the city. He should be able to try to find some funding to help out all small businesses. You know, I mean, he has not done that. His original, all he says right away is, well, the federal government won't help us. Well, you know what? You're running the city. You're running the budget. It's your responsibility to find funds to be able to help sustain small businesses. I mean, 41% of small businesses have closed in the city of Boston. This is crazy.
Mark, I'm going to have to break in there. Thank you. Thank you for spending this time with us, and we will be thinking about you. That's Mark Rowe. He's a general manager and partner with Beacon Hill Athletics Club.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.